Welcome to another episode of Forward Talks by Gumbook, a podcast about moving towards sustainability. I'm Tatiana Antonelli. On today's episode, we're joined by Adrian Doolan, CEO of Green Touches, which focuses on eliminating toxic chemicals in commercial and domestic cleaning. Adrian moved to Dubai 12 years ago, but has been in the Middle East nearly 30 years. She started out with leadership training with government bodies, such as the local water and electricity authorities. And she wants us to start moving away from using the term sustainability to using sincerity.
I want to get rid of this talking about sustainability because I think it's become a buzzword, and it's sort of for me it's incorrectly used a lot of the time because it's from a Latin word sustainer, right? To sustain. So I mean everybody wants to sustain everything in life, right? You want to sustain your families, your jobs, everything. But when it comes to the environment, which I think when a lot of us are talking about sustainability, that's what we really mean. So I want to start talking now about environmental sincerity.
Oh, gosh, so I'll have to update my glossary now.
So, for me now, I mean, I'm at the stage of my life where I believe that when you're going to talk about it, you really need to talk about it and to act on it, not just to have this, we have CSR, we have sustainability, wonderful. But what are you actually doing? I think the problem at the moment is we all know what's going on in the world. We all know the disasters, melting glaciers and, water, oceans rising in temperature and what's going to happen here, there and everywhere. But, even from David Attenborough down to now Greta Thunberg, who constantly talk about it, they're still not being listened to. I think it's time now, really, that we shake up the world. We don't want to talk doom and gloom, but at a certain stage, that's the way it's going to be.
I like the fact that you talk about sincerity, because somehow Greta and other, let's say, advocates are seen as not sincere and manipulated by politics or by different movements, and as if they were saying something just to do something wrong while actually talking about, making a positive difference. How do you think this sincerity could be proven?
Yeah, actually actioning things, not talking about it, just actually really doing. Let's say in our line of business then, so we're Green Touches and we're trying to make changes within the facility management industry. We want to start moving everybody away from using toxic chemicals to using a solution that we have, aqueous ozone, which is cleaning with an O3 molecule, which can clean an awful lot of stuff and saves plastic, is water saving, which we've shown, and it is an effective cleaner, and it's cleaning for health. So, we're trying to do that. We're trying to, get other companies to do it. But when we go in and we do trials and we do everything and they love it, and then it comes to the price of it, and we're even trying to keep the machine as low as possible in prices and everything, the commitment is all gone. So it's like, let's see, we have to tick these boxes. Okay, I've done this. Send it to management. We tried and nothing. So, there's no real commitment. And there's no real sincerity. And we've been up with a lot of high companies here, big companies. And it's the same story. So for me, it's a disappointment.
At a corporate level, we rely on the management to be more sensible to these topics. And if you don't have that, then our solutions or our services don't actually have any effect. Apparently, on the surface, things are moving forward. More and more companies say that they care. And there's more reporting also, which is interesting, because through reporting, maybe we can also, evaluate the impact that we want to see so much.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
But you think maybe from what you're saying that it's not enough?
It's not enough. But it's not all doom and gloom. There are definitely huge changes. I mean, we started the company up just under 4 years ago. And in those 4 years, I have seen good changes. And, we have now the opportunity we're greening a whole school, the Arbor School in Alfrejan. And that's that's my prime baby. And it's been completely green cleaned from start to finish, which is wonderful. So because it's an eco-literacy, sustainable schooling, it makes perfect sense that it's also green cleaned. All the facts and figures are there as well. Everybody knows But they maybe they don't have all the solutions in order to make changes. But there are definitely lots of changes. And measurement, that's, you know, we do that all the time. We measure everything so we know exactly how much water we've saved, how much toxic chemicals we've saved, how much plastics we've recycled. We measure all the time because we always say if you can't measure it, then you're not going to be able to manage it. And I know for a fact there's a number of big organisations now. I'm not sure if I can name one particular one, but in the DMCC, they're now starting, and they've already started actually back in June, to measure everything in the, you know, in the towers, the energy, the water usage, and then they can start implementing sustainable plans or environmental sincerity plans, because then they know what's going on. I think maybe companies will need to be forced to have sustainable reporting. Not forced, but it should be part of their strategy.
It's becoming more and more, and I think the government also is asking for the implementing of CSR. It's not only tell us what you do, is we need to see how many people are involved, what's the budget, and where did you put the money, and what was the impact of that money. And I have to say, a few meetings before the summer with local groups were very interesting, because they were asking us about sustainability, what they could do. But they didn't want to do anything before having measured their impact.
Well, that makes sense.
Exactly. And I was like, this is so good to hear, because then you're taking it the right way. Going back instead to your product that I am fascinated with, I had the chance to have a tour at Sustainable City, where you're based. And we had a demonstration there, because the whole Sustainable City is actually using your product.
The products, yeah.
So tell us more about how it works exactly, how we can have it in our homes, or how we can have it in our offices, and how it works.
You know, in the best way to describe it is after a rainstorm, when you get this wonderful clean smell, that's actually ozone that you're smelling. So it's Mother Nature's way of cleaning the stratosphere. So it's when you have your O2 molecules and they're hit by UV radiations, they become split. And they become weak bonded. And with the raining, then they're it becomes O3, a molecule. Well, without trying to give a whole science lesson.
I love that.
Because it's like... So that's what you actually get when it rains. It's ozone. Because you notice normally, if you don't get a sandy rain, everything is lovely and clean and green. So it's been... I mean, scientists have been playing around with ozone since the late 17th century. And then von Siemens created the first ozone generating machine in 1840 or something like that. They're using it in the Netherlands, in France, for water purification in the cities. So it's, you know, Olympic swimming pools since 1984 are only with ozone, because they don't have the chlorine in the water, because the swimmers would be...
consumed by the chlorine.
Yeah, totally. So it's well known and well used. The only thing about it is that it doesn't have a long shelf life, because it's a molecule, so it's highly active once when you produce it. It's highly active, but after a couple of hours, it's not active anymore, so you can't label it and put it on a shelf. So it takes more of a commitment to using it. So it's in a machine. There's generators, and you attach it to electricity and water. And then the electrification process takes place, and as soon as you start pouring it into your bottle, you have your general purpose cleaner.
From what I've seen is, I go with my bucket even to this machine.
Yeah.
I pour the liquid gas into the water.
It's water. It comes out. What you have
is
your cleaning
solution.
You come with an empty bucket.
Okay.
Put your solution into the bucket and go home and clean. Or you can put it into a bottle, like a pump spray bottle. So it has nano bubbles, which are around 320 nanometers. So they actually penetrate into surfaces where normal cleaning products will create a layer on top. It will actually penetrate in, and all the germs and bacteria are attracted to the O3, and it just obliterates them.
That's interesting, because I remember that because of this property, you can actually clean anything from toilets to kitchen, professional kitchens.
Yeah, fruit and vegetables. It prolongs the life of your fruit and vegetables. And I was talking to somebody the other day, if you're buying organic, it tends to be quite expensive. with using a cleaning product like this. So you can have a small machine in your home under your sink with just a small osmosis tap and an electric connection. And if you clean your fruit and vegetables, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to buy organic, because you're cleaning them with an O3 molecule. So nothing can be better than cleaning with what Mother Nature provides.
And do you also sell this little machine?
Yeah.
So what are the different machines you sell? The tiniest one would be this one too.
Yeah, which produces, let's say, 1.35 litres per minute, which is sufficient in a home. And we've done testing and everything with it. So even if you chop raw chicken, and we've done like this testing on it to have a look for the bacteria, and then afterwards just actually running the water from the O3 over it, and the you swab again and the testing, and it's right down to a level between 1 and 10, which is like hospital clean. So you know, it's it works really effectively. So we have machines for in the house, and then we have bigger machines which produce 11.65 litres per minute. And that's sort of then we have one in the school, and we have them in building, big building situations, where the staff just go with their bottles and fill up, and then they go clean. If there's anything left over, because after a couple of hours it reverts back to oxygen and water, you can just go water plants with it or whatever, but there is no toxic chemical going into the ground anywhere.
I can use it even in a kitchen and in a hospital?
Everywhere.
It's
inside your
here
fridge,
locally?
Your oven. You know, if you think about it, if you're cleaning inside your oven, people are using these awful toxic oven cleaners, right? Now, if I, and you put on your food, you put it into it, the smell, everything starts coming into the food and you're not realizing it. But if I gave you a tin and asked you to spray this toxic product on top of your food, you wouldn't do it.
And what is the cost? Because before you mentioned that, that could be something that maybe companies resist to purchase because of the price.
They resist, and there's a topic that I always want to talk about in some ways, right? Because it's also part of what changes that we're trying to make is cleaning staff in general. They're not very well paid. But when a company, a facility management company, will give a price, they also include a huge amount for chemical usage, right? And an awful lot of the time it's just cheap chemical anyway. So a lot of the time you have people getting low salaries but high charges of the chemical product. So that's our biggest competition, because if I come to a company and say, listen, I have this machine and you buy this machine up to, you know, it's, we can charge up to 18,000 if a company will just take one. If they take more, obviously we can negotiate and make a lower price. But for the next 10 to 12 years, you're done with your spend, you know. But the environmental effect on that is huge, because it uses way less water. You have no dilution, no hazmat restrictions. You don't, you know, you can train your staff how to use it, but, you know, it's the same as using any other product. But generally, you get rid of, they only have one plastic bottle, which we use actually, obviously recycled bottles. And that's all they need, one. They don't need four. They don't need one for a toilet, one for a bathroom, one for a kitchen, one for floors. So you eliminate a huge amount of plastic.
It's amazing.
So, and we did actually a trial in a mosque. So we have also another one, which is on wheels.
Okay.
And its generator is underneath. And it has a 6 meter long spray hose. So as soon as you turn it on, after about 30 seconds, you can start spraying the aqueous ozone, and then you can vacuum up. It's got a very powerful vacuum. So you can, you know, you're just taking everything away. And it's very effective. When we went in and did some cleaning in an ablution area in one of the mosques, because they were trying to save water. So they had all their team in. They had about 7 guys, and they used about 136 litres of water just on one cleaning. And there's 5 prayers in the day. We used about 5.2 litres of water, and we had one guy operating the machine and cleaned the whole place. And they brought somebody in from the lab to test the bacteria and to everything. So it's highly effective. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you take something like this, you could in effect eliminate all other chemicals being used, so you're not very popular.
What about if I cut myself? Can I disinfect my wound with it?
Yeah, in the Second World War, it was used to heal wounds, actually.
And so when did you start this company?
In October of 2015.
So it's already like 4 years. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank
and so
you.
It's growing there.
Yeah, we went from, let's say by the time we did all the website and all the everything, in March of 2016, we started with two guys and we have over 45 people now.
Because one other aspect of your company, which is also amazing, is how you look after your employees and the staff that work in your facilities
we
company.
We try.
In our offices, we do have actually two of your people working.
Yeah.
And they're amazing, very happy to be working, very proud of what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've been telling me about your work, about training them, empowering them, and then maybe go back to their own countries, engaged in, you know, bringing back what they've learned here.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the goal was to make the United Nations of a cleaning company. So we have people from all nationalities. I mean, I run my company like my life, so I like to run it in a very ethical manner, be very fair with everybody. We have, you know, we use all the R's, the reuse, recycle, reduce, but we also have respect and responsibility, because that's, you know, people need to take responsibility for their jobs and they need to respect each other. I abhor screaming and shouting at staff, which you can see a lot in this region, but it's totally ineffective way of dealing with people, because, you know, we all have our pride and you know, that's just not the way to deal with people. So we're trying to, you know, pay the staff higher wages, try to encourage them and really teach them about what we're trying to do, so that eventually they will hopefully change and bring it back. And it's a struggle. It's not always that easy. Sometimes you think you're really getting through, and other times you're like, oh, I'm wasting my time. But you want to, you know, I suppose because I'm older, most of my staff sort of, they call me mama and whatever. So they will, you know, and there's always definitely respect for me, for sure, always. They all love working without any chemicals, without any toxic chemicals, for sure. Everybody loves it.
This is the biggest actually advantage for them.
It's really safe.
I see so many workers, you know, having to deal with chemicals, and sometimes they don't even have a mask or gloves to protect themselves. So that is definitely an aspect that is beneficial for them.
Yeah, I mean, there are situations I know, maybe with some sort of big water tank cleaning or stuff like this, where maybe companies do have to use, you know, stronger chemicals. But we won't do any of that type of cleaning. So if we can't clean it with using a natural methods, organic methods or whatever, then we won't do it.
So you were telling me that since 2017, your company joined the UN Global Compact local UAE chapter. And now, since April, you're actually part of the board.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So that's also another initiative that has been growing in the UAE.
Yes, for sure.
And a lot of companies are part of it, small but also big ones. Some of them are, for example, the Shalhoub Group, Majid Al Futtaim.
And I remember when we received the email in the info outbox, I was like, this must be a joke. The United Nations Global Compact want us to join them. So they had seen a lot of what we were, I suppose, on our social media and what we were talking about. So it was established in early 2000 by Kofi Annan. So it's one of the largest, let's say, business networking organizations in the world. There's over 11,000. It's not huge, but there's over 11,000 big listed companies, let's say, and around 3,000 NGOs. Of the 11,000 companies, I think something like they employ around 60 million people. So as a company, if you're members here, you need to, or anywhere in the world, every year you need to make a commitment on progress. You have to do it. If you don't do it, you go out. So it's great that it's actually not just a name you're buying into. You're actually, you know, supporting it and believing in it and acting on it. So when we did our recent COP, after our first year, we hit 7 of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals. So we were quite proud as a cleaning services company, let's say, about what an impact we can have.
So I'm interested about the Sustainable Development Goals. The main feeling that you get when you talk to SMEs and even larger companies is that, yes, it's very nice to talk about it, but they don't even know what it is. They don't understand that you need to progress on it. They all go for the easiest one, climate action or partnerships. What are the goals through this specific UN Global Compact group? What is the sustainable goal that you see is the most difficult one, or the one that people are not able to address?
You know, for me now, 2030, because they're supposed to be achieved by 2030, but I think we need to move away now from actually putting dates on things. I think number one and two, poverty and hunger. If you look at it logically and how the world works, that it will not be achieved in the next 11 years. I'm kind of loath to actually give names to things anymore, because it's like, you know, you talk about gender equality, and we've sat at government meetings here with the private sector and the government, so talking about gender equality, and you know, we're talking about less working hours, better pay for women, or equal pay for women, maybe they should have more than 45 days maternity leave, and these important things, but at the end of the day, if you don't hit the really important things like stopping women abuse, sex slavery, if you don't sort of get to these are, in my opinion, all part of gender equality. I think, you know, you have to give it a name, but you have to also talk about it more in depth, I think. These things like the Sustainable Development Goals, they are really important, but we need to really start looking at the three Ps, the people, the planet. The profits will come, but you really have to get your head around making a bigger commitment to the environment and to people.
This is a very good point. Last week we were together judging an award here in Dubai, and what we felt the same way was that SMEs are still not understanding what sustainability is. And if we think about the impact of SMEs in the economy, They have a role, a big role, an important role, and nobody right now is addressing them the right way to make them understand that profit can be there even if there is sustainability and CSR. And because sustainability is, you know, the intersection of people, planet, and profit.
Yeah.
But there isn't. We are lacking that kind of education of I would even say empowering to SMEs. What can we do? Adrian, tell me, what can we do?
It's because people are afraid. I mean, I can see myself in the same situation as well as an SME. Unfortunately, there's not, in my opinion, too much sort of financial support for us here. Yet, you know, SMEs are the backbone of every economy. Really important. So from that aspect, it is hard. So I can see a fear factor for SMEs, because they think, you know, we've got to get out there, just get money. So the other, you know, we'll do good when we get the money. But you can't do that. So you have to start off with your strategies right from the very beginning. You know, everything. So you need to look for fair trade. Where do I get my uniforms made for my staff? Am I going to go to India and am I going to go to Bangladesh? Yes, I'm going to provide employment there. But, you know, at the end of the day, maybe the lady or the man who's sewing is going to get a $50 cent for their work at the end of a week. That's not enough for me. So at least I use somebody on a tailor's on Sustainable City so that I know where, you know, that the work is done here and that he pays his people nicely and everything. So, you know, they're the little things you can do. Treat your people right, try to pay them proper salaries. It works. I can't even put my finger on it. It does, it just works. But you have to stop the greed. We need to, you know, that's, I think, one of the biggest problems. We don't connect properly with them, with our planet. We sort of think we're above everything, but in fact we need to reconnect with nature, with animals. Yes, we're more intelligent than them, but at some times I think, are we?
You just told us that your office is based out of Sustainable City, and I know that you also live in Sustainable City. So how is it?
Brilliant. I moved there. I think I was the second resident. to move on, although the CEO, Mr. Farris, will always says I'm the first, but I'm okay with being the second. It's brilliant because you live in a sustainable bubble. So we have our we have all our solar panels on our homes. We have all our recycling. We, you know, everything composting. You know, we can get the all the herbs from the domes. It's wonderful. It's actually really, really a great community to live on. And having the office there, of course, is really nice as well.
And I know that something very special happened.
Who came? His Royal Highness Sheikh Mohammed. He came, and I had the honour to meet him, and to show him actually our aqueous ozone machines at the city. So that was a superb honour. Yeah,
really. I remember nice. For me just seeing the images of him walking around and then stopping at the ozone stand.
Yeah.
My question was like, what did he say?
He asked me about it, and I think for a few seconds I was kind of, although they had told me he probably would shake my hand, there was, you know, that few seconds where you're not sure. And he you know, he was really interested in asking about it. And I mean, it was a great visit that day from the city to the city. Because their son Sheikh Hamdan was also there, and he was flying around the city in a buggy, but it was really nice, and it's a great city. It's definitely something that should be rolled out, you know, not just throughout the UAE but throughout the world, because the reduction of the carbon footprint from us is phenomenal, actually.
That's all we have for you on this episode. Thanks, Adrian, for joining us. You can find out more about her company's products at greentouches-uae.com. You can also follow us in your favorite podcast player and on Instagram at Gumbook. See you next week.